the focus of the church these days, and really the focus of the whole world, is on the process of electing the next pope. So let's start with that. People of faith know that what's important now is prayer. Now that the church is without a pope, we need to pray for the next pope. We pray for the cardinals who have the important task of voting in the conclave. So we who are gathered here this morning, yes, we join in the prayer of the whole church for this choice of the pope, for the cardinals, for the conclave. And we trust that the Holy Spirit will guide the church, or guide the cardinals, to choose the next pope. Very good. That's the right approach to take. Most of the stories in the media on this topic give a different side to this whole process. We could call it the human side, or merely human side. There's no mention of the Holy Spirit. There's almost no mention of prayer. Instead, there's endless talk about leading candidates and about various factions and about scandals and secretive maneuvers and backdoor deals and corruption. There's even a popular Hollywood movie about this. By the way, don't trust movies to tell you the truth about the church. Anyway, part of the reason why the human side of this story dominates the media is that we do tend to focus on what is familiar to us. And we know what elections are like. There's an election here in the Philippines coming up on May 12th, just almost a week away. And there are leading candidates, and there are various factions or political parties, and there are scandals and corruption and vote buying and violence and all that stuff. And so many people are treating the conclave the same way they treat any other election. And yes, there are some of the same basic elements at work, or similarities. The human element is certainly there. But faith, Easter faith, tells us that there's more at work than simply the human side. So the question is, are we going to look at things from the perspective of faith, or are we going to simply do things the way we've always done things and look at things the way we've always looked at them? Why do I ask that question? Well, because today's gospel starts with Simon Peter saying to his fellow apostles, "I'm going fishing." And that sounds like a good idea to six of them, and so they go out to fish. Sounds like a good idea if you're a fisherman. But not if you're an apostle, not if you have already seen the risen Lord. Peter, are you going to live by faith? Apostles, are you going to live by faith? Now, we know the story. They try it out. They try fishing. They fish all night long, and they fail miserably. They don't even catch one fish the whole night long. Only in the light of day do things begin to change, and that's a symbol of the light of faith. At dawn, Jesus reveals himself on the shore, and he sets them back on the right path. So what we see in this gospel is the difference between the human side, what we call the natural side or the reasonable side, and what it's like to live by faith. What it's like to live from the perspective of faith, Easter faith, faith in the resurrection. Just because we think something is a good idea, it doesn't mean that it's the will of God. This message is given to us here on the third Sunday of Easter. And the gospel tells us this was now the third time Jesus was revealed to his disciples after being raised from the dead. It's the third time. The first time was on Easter Sunday. The second time was 1 week later, what we now call Divine Mercy Sunday, and we heard that story last Sunday. And the third time is this appearance on the shore of the Sea of Tiberias, or the Sea of Galilee. So we're far enough away from the shock of the resurrection. That was 2 weeks ago already. And we're far enough away from the beautiful story of Jesus appearing to the doubting Thomas. Far enough away that we can easily begin to go back to the way we were before. Back to our natural reactions, back to our natural way of thinking, back to our fishing, or our campaigning, or our shopping, or our scrolling, or our worrying, or complaining, or whatever we normally do. This very easily happens. It often happens. And we end up just like those who don't have any faith. Doing the same things, living the same way, thinking the same way. As if it doesn't really matter whether Jesus rose or not. After all, it was a long time ago. What difference does it make? And this is exactly what we see happening to the apostles in this gospel. I mean, they have seen the risen Lord Jesus at least twice, if not more, but at least twice. They know that he's alive. And they have been sent out into the world by him to proclaim this good news. But in this gospel, they decide to go fishing. Back to their old, familiar way of life. After all, they were fishermen all their lives. Now they go fishing. Now, there's nothing wrong with fishing. There's nothing wrong with running for Congress either. But what about the great mission of making known the gospel to the whole world? What about the life of faith? What about the truth of faith? Now, when we heard in the first reading today, we were reminded of what happened after Pentecost, after these men were filled with the Holy Spirit. These men were no longer thinking about fishing. They were boldly proclaiming the Lord, even in the Sanhedrin, even in front of the very ones who had condemned Jesus. It's as if they're completely different people. It's as if someone else is speaking. And Jesus said, that's what's going to happen. It won't be you speaking, it will be the Holy Spirit speaking in you. So we have this contrast between the fishing apostles and the proclaiming apostles. The apostles we see in the gospel and the apostles we see in the first reading. And that's set before us. Which ones are we? Are we fishing apostles or are we believing apostles? Too often, we're simply fishing. We're simply living on the human level. And it's a little bit embarrassing, really, to treat Jesus this badly after he has revealed so much. We're so quick to forget him, to give up on him, to go back to our old ways. The good news is he does not give up on us. This was very clear last week, in last week's gospel, where we saw Jesus come personally to Thomas. He did not give up on Thomas, even though Thomas was very strongly resisting. And he does not give up on these seven fishermen in today's gospel, even though they have seemingly forgotten the whole thing. And he does not give up on us either. He keeps coming to us, he keeps calling us, he keeps reminding us, usually very gently, but persistently. Look at how he deals with the apostles here. I'll just pick out three points to notice. First of all, Jesus does not focus on what they're doing wrong. I mean, he could have stood on the shore and criticized them. He could have blamed them for going fishing when they should be evangelizing, for failing to tell the world that he's alive. But instead, his very first words were, "Children, have you caught anything to eat?" See how gentle that is, how beautiful that is. He calls them children as if he's their father and he is concerned about them. He recognizes they are actually immature. They are children, and he gives them the benefit of the doubt. Every parent knows that the children are not perfect and you have to be patient with them. And that's their immaturity is no reason to reject them. And Jesus does not reject us. And Jesus did not reject these apostles. And he doesn't start by criticizing them. But he starts with asking them how they're doing. It's like, "Kumusta kayo?" Children, have you caught anything to eat? It's like saying, take a look at your own life. See whether it's satisfying you. Do you have what you're hungering for? Have all your efforts all night long gained for you the fulfillment that your heart is really seeking? Do you have that yet? And the answer, of course, is no. No, they're hungry, they're empty-handed, empty nets, empty boat. And then Jesus takes the next step with them. Very gently, he guides them into a new way, back into the new way. Once the apostles say no, meaning once they admit that their attempt to fulfill themselves has failed, well, then he gently shows them this other way. He says, try casting the net on the right side of the boat. Try doing things my way, not your way. Trust me. Let me guide you. Don't be arrogant. Don't insist that you know everything. Humble yourself and allow yourselves to be led. And the results will be abundant. Try it out. Try it out. You'll get more fish than you can take in. More abundant life than you can imagine. More satisfying than you actually dreamed of. You want a fruitful, fulfilling life? Well then, follow me. That's what Jesus is saying. Many people, especially young people, are so afraid that if they follow Jesus, they'll have an empty, boring life. No, that's exactly the opposite. You want an empty, boring life? Fish all night long in the world. Fish all night long online, if you want. You won't find a satisfying life. If you want a fulfilling life, a rich life, a happy life, follow the Lord Jesus, the risen Lord Jesus. Okay, so he takes this first step. Children, do you have anything? Second step, try fishing my way. And then the third step, Jesus reveals to them that he's already prepared breakfast for them. Come, have breakfast, he says. Isn't that beautiful? Come, have breakfast. Kain na tayo. It's a very, very normal way to reveal something very beautiful. They didn't have to worry about fishing at all. If only they had trusted in him, he would have provided all they need. And this is true for all of us. If only we trust in him, if only we trust in his risen life, if only we trust in the Holy Spirit, he'll provide all we need. Not all that we want. No, not all that pops into our head as something that would be good for us or would be a good idea. But all that we truly need for eternal life, yes, God provides. So as we face the difficulties of our day, as we face the difficulties of our times, this is our way to go forward, with confidence in the Lord. As we pray for the cardinals, we pray for the new pope, as we pray for the upcoming election, as we pray for our families, for our health, for our future, for our world, we put our trust in the Lord. That's the way of Easter faith, risen life. So that's what we're getting from this beautiful gospel. First of all, the difference between our natural ways, the human side, and the way of faith. Then we see Jesus is not focused on our sins and mistakes. He's calling us to a new way, which is a fruitful way. And finally, Jesus provides for us. When we dedicate ourselves to following him, when we really obey him, when we put our trust in him, then he provides for us. This is all part of the good news of Easter. Because he is alive, we have life. Because Jesus is with us, we have hope. We're pilgrims of hope. And we go forward with confidence in God's goodness.